The scripture I'm going to start out with tonight is Proverbs 16:3. It says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Now, our works means that our lives, whatever we do for the Lord, if we commit that to the Lord, that he will establish our thoughts. And when we think about thoughts, we know that thoughts can get all jumbled up sometimes. We can have confusing thoughts. We can have fearful thoughts, accusing thoughts, just on and on. We can go right on with them. But if we commit our ways or our works unto the Lord, we've been promised in the scriptures that our thoughts shall be established. And you'll see where I'm going with this as we go on tonight. And I have two other scriptures. Jeremiah 10:23 says, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. So that lets us know there's two scriptures to start off with tonight that lets us know that if what we do and our lives are centered around the Lord, that we can trust the Lord to keep us and to watch over us. And Jeremiah says that I know the way of man is not in himself. There's nothing in ourselves that can accomplish what God can accomplish. Without the Lord, our works, our deeds are just works and deeds without his blessings on them. So it's not in a man who walks to direct his own steps. That's the last part of that verse. Oh, Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps that will not be blessed. So tonight, the title of our lesson, and I may have trouble reading this tonight. I scratched off some stuff real quickly. The title is When You Feel Stuck. Have you ever just felt stuck in life? Like it just seems that things are not the way they ought to be or not the way you think they ought to be. And you just feel like you're not moving on. So number one, you must understand why you feel stuck. You've got to understand that. And this takes some communication with the Lord and your own heart. And then number two, you must get specific and identify the root. If you do not get specific and you're not open for, you just want to go on. And sometimes we do that. We just kind of spin our wheels and in a vicious cycle. But in order to get the answer to why you feel stuck, you must get specific and identify the root of why you're feeling stuck, or you'll continue to feel that way and it'll get worse. And then number three, you must seek to uncover the underlying issues causing you to feel stuck. You can't just touch it on the surface. You got to get to the bottom of it and uncover it. Sometimes that makes us uncomfortable, because when we begin to see things about ourselves, then we begin to become insecure. It's painful sometimes to see if we're at fault. So most important, make sure God is not delaying or calling you aside for a while in order to mature you. Sometimes, you know, we can become discontent when we don't feel that things are moving the way that we want them to. But we have to make sure that God is not delaying us, that we're feeling stuck because we want to do something and it's not happening. We have to be careful there. There's a fine line there. So be careful with that. And then you have to make sure your spiritual needs are not the cause of the delay that's causing you to feel stuck. Maybe there's something in your life that's causing you to feel stuck that God is in control over and watching over, trying to help you. So those are just some points just to think about as we go on with the lesson. And I want to say at the outset, all of the lessons that we do on Tuesday night, it's not just for Christians. Christians and non-Christians alike can benefit always from Scripture and truth, because we know that the Scripture says we shall know the truth and the truth shall set us free. So as we can all benefit, Christians and non-Christians alike, but we have to be serious and sincere and open and honest with ourselves and with the Lord. As a Christian, we have learned by experience the importance of trusting Him in every season of our lives. There are times, though, that we get stuck when we take our eyes off of Him and lean toward our problems. We become distracted. And we know better. We know that when things are only in our mind, but through with a Christian, it's moved from the mind to the heart because we have the Spirit of God living in our hearts. So we've learned to trust the Lord. We know that the Lord is in control of every season of our lives. But to the non-Christian, they can know that in their head. I knew a lot of things that were right in my head, and I never doubted God. I knew He was real, and I knew that He could answer prayer, but it didn't become real to me. Although He was so faithful, the Lord was so faithful throughout my childhood and adulthood. I mean, but it was only up here in my head until I came to know the Lord. But now as a Christian, we know not only these things that God keeps us and He works through every season of our life to bring us to Him, but as a non-Christian, such ones are stuck many times by scriptural truths, remaining only in a head knowledge, having not yet been allowed to move to the heart. So that's the difference. But every scripture can speak to a non-Christian's heart. That's what the scriptures are for, to bring us to know Him and to trust Him. For both Christian and non-Christian alike, there's hope for every need that we have. There's not one need that we have that God is not aware of. The Christian has the power and ability to trust the Lord to help them to get unstuck and to move forward with the Lord. For the non-Christian, they are stuck in a self-made predicament because of many reasons. It's all varying reasons, but they all center around self. In other words, they remain stuck because they have not sincerely and thoroughly and completely sought the Lord as the most valuable thing in their life. It's referred to in the scripture as the pearl of great price. They are still stuck because they have too many other pearls that are the most important. As a result, they deny themselves the power and ability to overcome hindrances and obstacles because they do not act on truth and they do not make the Lord their personal God. It's not God's fault. So we need to be careful with that. As a Christian, we have done that. We've seen the value of the Lord. And let me say at the outset, does not mean that a Christian is perfect. But we do know by the dealings of the Holy Spirit that we're not going to habitually live in sin. It hurts our heart. When we know we failed, we know it because of the Holy Spirit that lives in our heart. So truth is not personal because it's only stuck in the head. It's not moved from the head to the heart. for those of us who are trusting the Lord to direct our steps, we often find out that with Him, our journey can look very different than what we envisioned it to be. Sometimes this involves finding out that God's timeline and our, quote, ideal timelines are often at odds. We are not huge fans of detours, especially when they come with a list of lessons to learn along the way. And that is so true. Just remember this throughout this lesson, that God's detours have a purpose, and God takes the opportunities through those detours to really help us to come to know Him and to know ourselves and to mature spiritually. I use the Israelites, I know, a lot. I use them examples quite often because their actions are much like our responses to our spiritual lives and journeys. But just imagine or put yourself in the Israelites' place, especially after a year of wandering in the desert, and then again a year later, and then after a decade into the journey, some lost hope as to whether God was really leading them at all. A few millennia later, here we are, just as the Israelites, still grumbling that God doesn't give in to our plans and our own self-made schedule or timeline. Lord, we thought we ought to be here at that time, or we thought we ought to be in a different place. We need to learn that the Lord always knows best. He has the best plan for us, and when we learn that, we will prosper and benefit much better. Many of the Israelites assumed and accused God of being cruel and withdrawing or withholding blessings to them. And many times we also accuse God of withholding blessings from us. We can feel as though He is unfair as He watches us as we are just from the other side of a breakthrough. We often can look at others and enjoying their life or their best life in the land of milk and honey while we are still wandering around stuck in our lack. It's our fault. We should remind ourselves we are stuck where we are because of our mistakes, not God's. And His delays are for our benefits. His detours and His delays are always for our benefit. He's always looking out for us because He is a God of love. Even our mishaps and our difficult times are to teach us to trust Him more. The land of promise and provision is where God desires all of us to be. But sometimes there needs to be a delay in order for Him to teach us the vital lessons that we need for the next step. These lessons include personal preparations in our lives so that we are ready for the next step, and also in order for the Lord, to secure us and make us strong in Him so that we do not fail. It's sad that in our culture, a hunger for speed, success, and quantifiable results, we many times grow impatient to rush ahead of God. In rushing ahead, we fail to see or deal with the needs which are the cause of our being stuck in the first place. What do we do when we feel as though we have been camped out too long? What do we do? We start accusing the Lord. We start saying, well, I know that this is something that, I wanted, and God didn't give it to me. Oh, me. But I want to tell you some points here. Don't forget, number one, where you started. Remember, it's not what you start out doing. It's most important that you finish strong in the Lord, that you actually complete what the Lord has for you to do. Am I stuck because of my failure to complete a task? Maybe God hasn't moved us on to the next step or assignment because what he gave us to do right now hasn't been finished or learned. The spiritual lesson has not been learned, the one that we really need. Why would God move you into something new if you haven't been faithful with what he has given you already with where you are now? A good question to ask when you feel stuck and feel God's not moving on fast enough in your life is, what was the last thing God was dealing with me about? That's a good question to start with. What was the last thing that God was dealing with me about? And then the next one, ask the question, have I dealt with this need he has revealed to me? Have I dealt with it thoroughly and completely? And the next question, have I really learned the spiritual lesson he was trying to teach me? Then the next question, have I dealt with any sin that he has drawn my attention to? And the next one, have I overcome and surrendered it to him? And then the next one, next question is this transaction complete? Have I thoroughly dealt with it? Is it complete? Am I ready to move on? The next is to realize that you might not be ready to move yet. That's a big thought right there. We might not be ready to move on. It's easy to convince yourself that you are ready to move on, but it may be that he is trying to make sure you have learned what he has for you to learn before he moves you forward. Just as important as finishing the actual task or lessons that he gave you before is the fact that he is trying to refine your character. You may not realize it until you are on the other side of the side where you are now and the side you were wanting to get to. You might not realize it until you actually reach the other side, that what was going on in the inside of you is preparing you for what it lies ahead. If we do not spend the time dealing with our hearts, oftentimes we have to relearn matters or lessons we didn't take time to process while we walk through them the first time. Many times we have to tear down the faults, the learned faults in our lives before the Lord can build up what's real, what's true or right. And you know, we may think, well, Lord, you're not moving fast enough for me. I need to be here, just like the Israelites said. We want to be on the other side, you know, and why are we not there? And, you know, we can complain and grumble. And, you know, I was thinking as I was preparing this lesson today, I remember when the Lord had called us and we knew that we were to work overseas in Indonesia. We knew that. And we knew that quite a few years before we actually went over to Indonesia. I know why now. The Lord took us from one step of learning processes to the next. And one of those was when, you know, we stepped out by faith. We stopped we let go of the things that meant the most to us, our pearls in life, and we put him as the most precious pearl in life. And, you know, we built our home. We had some acres in the country, and we were set up nicely, and Mike's job was doing well, and he was promoted, and we had everything going well. And when the Lord called us, you know, we stepped out by faith. We trusted him. We've never looked back, never had a regret. I feel it's such a privilege to serve the Lord every day of my life, to be able to love him and to trust him. And it's such a privilege. But I remember in that process, the Lord was preparing us. We went to Canada, went to school. We learned a life of faith there because we didn't have that job anymore to depend on. We didn't have my parents would have given us anything. They would have sold something if they had to. My sister would have done the same thing if we had asked. But we knew when we stepped out by faith that God was faithful. And I remember Mike and I both saying, if God's faithful, he will meet our needs. We don't have to hint or ask. God knows our needs. And I'm sitting here tonight to tell you that is just as real today in my life as it was those many, many years ago. And we were young at the time, no children at the time, when we stepped out preparing to go to the mission field. And Mike pastored a church. We worked with different people, different churches. I mean, it just started out one ministry after the other and one learning lesson after the other. And I remember thinking, why? When, you know, I was so young in the Lord at the time, I thought, well, we're just going to go right over to Southeast Asia and, you know, we're going to start a work. And I often questioned in my mind, why do we have to do this or why do we have to do that? Well, the Lord knew that we were not prepared to go over and serve him. He was teaching us very valuable personal lessons that we needed to know, because when we went into Indonesia, we really didn't have like a bank. We, you know, although, and I know y'all have heard story after story, how our people there were so faithful to us and still love us, and we appreciate that. But the Lord didn't want us to depend on man. He wanted us to learn to depend on him. And I know that I still am touched by the stories and the real life stories that happened to us while we were in Canada, and how the Lord was proving himself to be faithful. It was not always easy. There was sometimes it was a little bit hard, but we learned through the lesson that God's faithful. So the Lord was merciful to us, not to just take us and set us down in Indonesia. We wouldn't have been a help to any of the Indonesian people. We would have been having to lean on them, but we could lean on the Lord when difficulties came at immigration, when things came, you know, with sickness or Kim falling down the flagpole and surgery and all of these things that happened, dealing with the things that we needed to deal with there. If the Lord had not prepared us beforehand, we would have failed him miserably. But the Lord knew, and that's what the Lord does for us today. He helps us to know that the Lord knows best. We may feel stuck, but we have to ask the Lord, okay, is there something I haven't learned? Well, there was plenty of things that we hadn't learned. And many times we got a little bit impatient and anxious to go on about the Lord's work. The Lord's called us. We need to go on. and the Lord would just show us something new. He would show us something else. And when he did that, it caused us to know that the Lord knew just what we needed. And he was not going to let us move on until he knew that we were ready to move on. So, you know, many times we think we're ready when we aren't. The Lord knows. And I'm so, so grateful that the Lord does know what we need. He knows what we need to minister for him. He knows what we need in our own spiritual lives. He has to get us ready. He has to get us ready so that we're able to go and live a life of faith and teach and do what the Lord wants us to do. If we don't learn those lessons, we will fail not only God, but we'll fail others. And the Lord knows that. But you know, sometimes we can be stubborn. Mike and I could have gone on. We could have said, well, we're going right now, right here now. We're going. We're not waiting any longer. But you know, the Lord knew better than that. And we learned to listen to the Lord. And it was backed up with many experiences. And I know you all remember the story of the lady Judy that came to our door. We got down. We were learning to live by faith. And we actually, I don't remember feeling sorry for myself at all. I really don't. As a matter of fact, the Lord spoke to me one day when we got low of funds and I didn't have any funds to buy groceries with. And we shared with everybody, some of the students that came over to our house. We opened our home, opened our refrigerator, whatever was ours was theirs. And I remember one time one of the young men came in and he said, Mike Hendricks, you don't have any groceries. You don't have any food in your refrigerator. And Mike kind of laughed and he said, wait, I'll be right back. So here he comes back with oysters and eggs and soy sauce and some spring onions, some scallions. And we had oyster eggs for the first time. But anyway, another time when Judy came, it was a blizzard. I mean, one of the worst blizzards that they had had. And it was cold. Nobody was going out. And so Mike and I were on our knees praying, you know, and asking the Lord, you know our needs, because we didn't go hungry that night. We had some purple hull peas that we had canned, that my dad had helped us can. We canned a few things. We had a can of purple hull peas, and that's what we ate for dinner that night. And so we were on our knees praying, Lord, you know our needs, and we're going to trust you. A knock came at the door. It startled both of us, because who would be coming out in this dark blizzard night? And we went to the door, and there was Judy all bundled up in her black coat. She looked like a huge bear because she was all covered up from head to toe. And in her arms, she had a loaf of freshly baked bread. She baked the best bread. And she said, I made bread for my family, and I was getting ready to go to bed. And she said, the Lord put you all on my heart. And I could not go to bed without bringing this to y'all. We didn't say, well, Judy, we're so glad we didn't have anything to eat tonight. We just, in our hearts, we told her how thankful we were. We appreciate it. Never did tell her. Never did tell her, I think. Maybe after school was over, you know, and we knew we wouldn't be seeing Judy anymore. We told her, you know, how the Lord used her that night, how sensitive she was to the Lord. But we went in the kitchen. We couldn't hardly wait for Judy to leave. And we went in the kitchen and opened that bread up, and inside was a stick of butter. I'm going to tell you, that was like manna from heaven. We enjoyed that. But you know what? There were times on the mission field that, you know, funds were low. But like I say, our people were very faithful, very sensitive to the Lord. I can promise you that. I'll never forget them and how God used them. And they know that. They know God used them in many ways to provide for us and to keep us and to look out for us and watch over us. We'll never take that for granted. But that's just an example. The Lord was so merciful to us, not to just put us down on a foreign land, having our faith not being as strong as it should, because he knew we'd be faced with, you must trust me. You must trust me. When you go through the fire, you've got to trust me. When you go through immigration and our people are on the outside of the airport and we're on the inside on the firing line, you can't trust in man. You have to trust in God. Your faith has to be in him. And we found him to be faithful. He never failed, never failed us. He never has, and he never will. So when you feel like that maybe you should be on the other side of some of your circumstances or situation, always remember that God has a purpose. He's got you in mind as well as others. And he doesn't want you to fail, and he doesn't want you to be hurt. He wants to bless you. So God does not want to set you up for failure. If he had allowed us to make our own plans and go overseas, we would have been a failure. I'm sure we would have. God's timing is perfect. He has a timeline that he knows better than anyone else. He does not follow our timeline. Thank the Lord that he overrules us. Now, at times, he will to teach us a lesson. He will let us have our way. He does. And I've had that happen before, too. And I learned it. I learned the lesson well. Didn't want to follow that lesson anymore. Didn't want to have to go through that again. But he wants us rather to be successful in our spiritual lives. So that's why he puts things in our life. He puts detours in our lives. This is why it's important to stop and learn what it is he's trying to teach you. Because if you don't learn it the first go around, you're going to have to learn it somewhere. And it's better just to remember to submit to the Lord and look to him to meet your needs instead of having to go back over it again and relearn that lesson. And then point three, remember the truth about God. When you're going through difficulties and you think you might be stuck and you can't move forward, you're just stuck. Remember the truth about God. The truth and facts about God will keep your mind from confusion. It'll bring peace to your mind. The Israelites wandered together for an entire generation. But you know what? We often find ourselves wandering alone in isolation. And our journey then becomes a challenge. Sometimes you can feel stuck. And in those situations, you feel lonely because it's not a whole group of people, but our tribe of people, it'll be you. And if you find yourself stuck in this type of a situation, remind yourself first, God is unchanging and his promises are true. That's something we can cling on to. That never changes. God never changes. And the Bible says that he cares about us. So no matter where we are, this declaration is not dependent upon our spiritual dilemma. It does not matter what our dilemma or our trial is or what season we're going through, as sometimes we refer to it. It doesn't matter. It's not dependent upon your geographical location or your life status. It's just the fact that the scripture says it. And it's true. God is unchangeable and his promises are true. Doesn't matter where we are, what we're going through or what our life status is. God can be trusted. And then the second thing is God is not surprised or challenged by anything. You may be seeing darkness where you are, but His vision is not altered by your battle. It's not. It goes far beyond yours. His vision for you is to be triumphant. And He goes to all means to help us not to fail. But sometimes we can be so hard-headed and we can just try to make things happen when God's really not in it. And sometimes when you feel stuck, I mean, you just think about being stuck in the mud. Have you ever got your car stuck in a place in snow or mud rut and you can't get it out? You feel helpless and hopeless. Well, sometimes we feel like that in our spiritual lives because we do not rely on the Lord. We don't turn to Him. We try to establish our own ways. We try to do things in our own power. And if you've ever tried to get a car unstuck, and I can remember one time when I got into that dilemma, and Mike had always told me, don't give it gas like that because it's going to make your wheels just bog down into the rut even more. Well, I had to learn that the hard way, and I did. So, you know, that's the way our spiritual lives are. Sometimes we get in that spiritual rut, we're stuck in it, and we just think we've got to get out of this instead of stopping and saying, okay, what's the Lord trying to teach me here? Lord, help me to search my heart. Help me to know what you're trying to say to me and what you're trying to teach me. Just help me, Lord. Don't let me dig a deeper rut. Don't let me feel hopeless. Because when you start feeling that you're stuck, instead of looking around to see what might be going on and looking in your own heart, when you question that and you think, I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to go here or there. I'm going to get this done. We better be careful. We're treading on dangerous ground when we do that. And then the third point is God doesn't waste any opportunity to enable you to rise above your circumstances and to learn what you need to in order to win, to be triumphant. So the season you're in now, although or could be in the future, although could be very painful, does not take Him by surprise. He assures us if we will listen. Now that's the key. If we will listen, I am in this with you to help you. He will not leave you. He's going to fight with you. He's going to stand with you as long as you desire Him to do so. But in our stubbornness and in our thoughts, our human thoughts sometimes, we can be insistent upon having our own way and we can make a big mess. And then we do feel stuck. He sees us exactly where we are, every detail. And it never affects Him in a negative way. Things affect us in a negative way, but with God, remember, He's unchanging. He's all powerful. And it never affects Him in a negative way. He is in this battle with you all the way if you will allow Him to be. If you depend on Him, you will emerge from the place that you are growing stronger and wiser and closer to Him, prepared for the next step. You do not want to move forward not prepared by the Lord. Spiritually unprepared is a dangerous step. It really is. And then number four, you need to realize that contentment is a choice. And contentment is a big key in this. 1 Timothy 6, 6 says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Am I content to be stuck in a situation? If I am content, I won't feel stuck. I'll feel like God has a purpose in this. I'll see it clearly. And I'll know that he has a purpose, but godliness with contentment is great gain. If my heart is in the right place and I want to know and to be where God wants me to be and nowhere else, then it's going to bring a great benefit and gain in my life. We feel stuck sometimes because we are not content in the place that we're in. I don't want this. I want that. I want to be on the other side. You told me I was going to do this, but maybe you didn't say exactly when, just like us waiting to go to the mission field. I'm so grateful that we allow God to order our steps. Along with that, cooperating with the Lord and desiring him, we learn discernment and wisdom and trust and faith. If not, it would have been a disaster, I can tell you. That is a lesson I will never forget. But we do feel stuck sometimes because we are not content and willing to be in the place that we're in. It is impossible for us to remain content when all we desire to do is move forward, whether spiritually ready or not. This is where I need to be. I see the future for me doing this or that or the other. Wait on God. Our impatience will cause us to point fingers at God and accuse him instead of humbly acknowledging God has a purpose in delays and detours. His purpose is to prepare us for each step he has for us. The Israelites camped out in the wilderness, grumbling about not being able to cross over into the promised land. Some failed to see and ever recognize the lessons they needed to learn before they could cross over. And instead of seeing the blessings and in the midst of their situation or their dilemma or their time of need, they failed to see God provided for them each step of the way. Instead of being content and grateful with God's provisions for them and for the valuable lessons that God had for them and was teaching them about faith and trust, all they could do was show discontent about God not meeting their timetable. Contentment is a sign of maturity, and you can tell if you don't have it. God always has our best interest in his mind and heart. He uses detours as an opportunity to teach us and to help us to know our spiritual weak points. And that's in order to move us on successfully in his plans. That's why we should never feel stuck. We should pray and we should ask the Lord, why do I feel stuck? If you ever feel that way, question your heart because you're doubting God. So, his vision for us is not that we arrive at some place at a record time that meets our approval. Rather, his concern with what's happening in our hearts, that's his concern. That's what his concern is. It's about what's happening in our hearts. The Lord's goal is our transformation and our spiritual victories. not arriving at some place incomplete. And you know, the challenge to me today with this lesson was that the Lord gives us everything that we need. It's just sometimes we're so self-centered that we don't allow the Lord to do what he needs to do because we're so bent on having our own way and doing what we feel that we need or that we want instead of asking God, what is the most important? And you know, I started this lesson out by saying, this is a lesson not just for the Christian. This is a wonderful lesson, an encouraging lesson, and a challenging lesson for the Christian and the non-Christian alike, because it points us to the Lord. He is our helper. He is our victory. And his victory is a sure thing. His plans are sure, but not ours, not our self-made plans. The selfish person will, when things go wrong or do not go the way that they ought to, if they're self-centered and not God-centered, they're going to point a finger at God. And you know what? Those type people are people who have not surrendered their heart to the Lord. So they're demanding of God. And, you know, in a sense, you have to look at it in a deeper way and say, these people expect something. They expect what they want to be done. And then if not, they're not happy about it. And they point a finger back at God. This is your fault. Instead of seeing that the Lord's plan was to prepare them for the future, not sticking them down in a place to where they would end up in failure. But for the Christian who really desires the Lord, and we can get off on the wrong track. Like I said at the outset, we're not perfect, but we want to be all that God wants us to be. And if we have that sort of a heart, sometimes the Lord's going to take us through difficulties to refine us and to purify the heart so that we can serve him and not fail. And you know, the sooner we learn this and act on it, the sooner that we will be more content people and happier people, less confused, and the peace of God will rule in our hearts and minds. So tonight, I hope that this lesson spoke to your heart as much as it did to mine. So you've got a challenge before you. The next time you feel stuck, and usually it's when things don't go our way. If something goes opposite of what we feel like it should have gone, then we're challenged by it. And we want to, you know, instead of looking in the heart and saying, what's wrong with me? I know God loves me. That's doubting God's love. And that's setting ourselves above God, accusing him. You can pretty it up all you want to, but it's not pretty. And God doesn't accept it. God only accepts the heart that is humble before him and contrite. He does honor that type of a heart, not the proud heart. And the proud heart will feel stuck more times than they see that God's using this rut I'm in to teach me a valuable lesson, to be content and to trust him. So may we all tonight just learn something. If just one thing spoke to your heart tonight, act on it. And ask the Lord, you know, what's going on in my heart? Ask the Lord, have I done something against what you want me to do? Remember, it's not what you start out doing. It's most important that you finish strong and that you actually complete what the Lord has for you to do. Grumbling and complaining and pointing a finger at God will never benefit anything. So trust the Lord with all of your needs, and may the Lord speak to our hearts and help us to take every situation as a situation and a season, whatever season we're in our spiritual lives, to help us to learn from Him.